Hey, I want to talk to you this morning about how to have God's blessings all year long. All year long. You know, it's something how everybody starts the year off and they make all these decisions. I was talking about, sometime back here, a while back, I am going to lose weight this next year. Amen. So, I've made up my mind. I'm going to go ahead and there's some things I'm going to throw out, and that'll lose weight. Amen. I definitely need to lose the weight, and I'm determined I'm going to do that this year. But, you know, most people, like smoking and things like that, they throw their cigarettes away and all that. And I remember I used to do that when I smoked and say, you know, this is year I'm going to quit and all this kind of stuff. And things are costing too much, and I burn holes in my shirts and do this and, you know, all kinds of stupid stuff. So anyway, to make a long story short, just give you an example about smoking. I never forget, I switched to a pipe, you know, started smoking a pipe. And I'll never forget, I was riding down the road. I must have been doing about 65 or so down the road. But anyway, I don't know what happened, but also I got something in my throat. And I had the pipe in my mouth, and I coughed. I mean, I coughed through the pipe. And when I did, it blew all these ashes out all over me. And the car's going all over the place, and I'm catching on fire and everything. But so I said, man, I'm going to quit smoking. That's all there is to it. I'm just going to quit. But no, it was the grace of God that delivered me from cigarettes, amen. And I never was able to quit. But I remember those resolutions that I'd make, that I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to start doing that, and all this kind of stuff. And those things usually last maybe 3 or 4 days, maybe a week at the most. And but Drew, you know, the thing about it is, I don't want you to just make a resolution this year. I want you to make a firm commitment to read your Bible. Amen? I tell you, it's so important. Moses is telling the people of Israel here how to have a happy and prosperous new year. He's saying that if you do these things, and the eyes of the Lord God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. You know, I would like to have God's blessings. I would like to have God watching over me, 365 days of the year. Well, the Bible tells us that He does. Amen. His eyes are always on His children. He's always watching us and things like that. And it's so wonderful to know those things. And I'm encouraged knowing that God's eyes are on me, and God's eyes are on my family. God's eyes are on this church of ours. And it's good to know that. It's good to know that, and good to know that He's doing that 365, every single day, every single day. You know, there's some days you're going to get up, and it's going to be a little bit different. Now, I want to go ahead and show you something here. He gives us the secret of obeying His commandments. Because the idea is this. He says this, if we obey His commandments, look what it says in verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love God, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then God makes promises to us, you see. Now, folks, let me tell you something. With all your heart and with all your soul, that's all of your being. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need to serve God with. That's what we need to get involved with. Too many times, and you go back and out, and I'm getting into a little bit of tonight's message about, I was thinking about preaching on being lukewarm there in Revelation chapter 3, where it talks to the church of Laodicea. And there is a lukewarmness among Christians, amen? And we need to get down to it. Now, you know, a lot of times people say, well, it's the pulpit. Yes, it is the pulpit. We're not preaching hard enough. We're not, telling people what they really need to know and what they really need to do in order to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. Hey, He wants us to have good homes. He wants us to have homes where our children obey us, where our children respect us, where our children do the things that we tell them to do, and so on and so forth. That we're training them, bringing them up in the right way, you see, teaching them how to read their Bibles, having family altars in our homes and that type of thing and everything. Well, the Bible tells us how to do all these things and how we can obey His commandments. You know, really, His commandments are very simple. You know, so many times people say, well, I don't know about all these commandments. Well, the Jews had an awful lot. They had 600 and some commandments that they had to obey. Guess how many you and I got? Two. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do all that, then you've obeyed all the law. Amen? You've done everything that God wants you to do. But we're not here to obey the law. We're here to glorify the Lord because He saved us. The law cannot do that. Amen? Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. Well, I want to go ahead and bring this out to you. The first thing the Bible tells us, and I find all that we need to know is right here in verse 22. For if you shall diligently keep all the commandments which I command you to do them, and here's the first one, to love the Lord your God, second, to walk in all His ways, and third, to cleave unto Him. You know, God tells us that He wants us to love Him. He wants us to love Him. Now, why should we love God and serve Him? You ever stop and think about that? You know, we're all the time saying, you know, come on out on visitation. Come on out. Let's serve God. We need Sunday school teachers. And later on, we're going to need bus workers and all that and everything else. And we always have a need here at the church for workers and things like that. Serving God, doing the things. And by the way, you're not serving the pastor. Throw that out the window, you know. That old dog doesn't coon anything. It doesn't tree or coon at all. Well, forget it. You know what I'm talking. Yeah, I'll get it out here in a minute. Amen. But the point I'm trying to say here is this. We ought to love the Lord because He is our Savior. Stop and think about it just for a minute. God loved me so much and He loved you so much that even while we were sinning and breaking His laws and doing our own thing and leaving Him completely out of our life, He created us. He made us. The fellowship with Him and the walk with Him. That's why God made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. Actually, He made Adam for Himself. He made Eve for Adam. If you'll read the scriptures. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, we're all made because God wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to care for Him and to obey Him and do the things that we ought to do. Why should we do that? Because He loved us enough to go to the cross for us. You know, God the Father loved us enough to give us His own Son. You know, if you go back to, Genesis chapter 22, you see where Abraham is taking Isaac and going up on the mount there because God had commanded him to offer him up as a burnt sacrifice to Himself. And Abraham was willing to do it. His heart was in it. And God didn't want that. He doesn't want anybody to kill their children and offer them up and all that kind of stuff. That's not what it's all about. But what God wanted to do was show us. And here, Isaac is carrying the wood, and he has the knife, and he has the pot with the ashes in it, you know, the coals from the fire. And they're going up, and he says to his father, he says, Father, behold the wood and the knife and the fire, but where's the offering? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? And that answer was made years and years later when John the Baptist came and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Who takes away the sins of the world. Why do I love Jesus? Because I know the wretch that I was. Now, I'm not just trying to sing a song up here, folks. I'm telling you the truth. I know what kind of a sinner I was. And still am, be honest with you. But the Lord loves us. And we love him because he first loved us. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Folks, let me tell you something. He loved us first. He's our provider. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Folks, let me tell you something. Our needs here on this earth will be met if we'll just go ahead and put God first in our life. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We got people out there struggling. I remember how I was struggling with credit cards and all kinds of stuff. I was working. I even started a little business going around, after working for the phone company. I was working cleaning gutters. My dad always said I'd be a gutter cleaner, but when I was back in school, he said, "You ain't going to be nothing but a gutter cleaner." You know that? But no, he was talking about the street, you know. And they got a machine to do that now. No, I was cleaning gutters around these big houses. And I'd go around, I'd do it back then. This was back in, 60-something, I think it was. But anyway, $10 was a lot of money. And, I'd tell them I'd come by and I'd clean it. I'd go around on weeknights and knock on doors and tell the people that if they wanted me to do it, I'd schedule them a certain time. I'd be there on Saturday. And I'd line up about 12 homes. And I'd go there, and that's $120. Well, I didn't know anything about tithing then, and I certainly didn't give it to the government, tell them about, my taxes or anything. I didn't put that down. That was clear money. But, I used to do all that. Used to work like that. And why? Because I was trying, and I'm still going in the hole, constantly going into the hole. And didn't have a nice vehicle to drive around. It was always breaking down, stuff like that. Keith was talking about that this morning. And the truth is, when I got saved, see, I started putting God first. I cut out the overtime, cut out the other things. Why? I wanted to be in church on Wednesday night. I wanted to. God asked me to work with teenagers, and I started working with teenagers. And I had to be available for them and things like that. So I wouldn't work any more overtime and everything. I just trusted God for that. Let me tell you something. God will provide. He will take care of your needs. And by the way, all my debts are paid. Those credit cards and everything are all paid off and all that. I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. Why? He's my provider. He's also my protector. You know, you ever stop and think about it? We have a devil that's always pointing a finger at us. Amen. He's always telling God how bad we are. Well, he don't have to do that. God knows that. Amen. And but the truth is, he is. He says, see there? He's supposed to be your child. And look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. You know, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, but we have also a high priest. We have an intercessor that prays for us and before the Father. He says that, I know, but my blood has washed all that away. He's been forgiven and so on and so forth. Folks, let me tell you something. We have everything. Everything is in Christ. You look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, I think it is. It says, all things were created by him, and through him all things consist. Folks, let me tell you something. The blood flows through my veins because of Christ. Amen. I had something to eat today because of Christ. Thank God I had a cup of coffee this morning because of Christ. All these things, amen, was because of Christ. We have a church. I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. Same thing with you. We ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be just the happiest people in the world. Why? Because we got a God that loves us, and we have a God that cares for us. And we ought to love our God. And this is what the Bible tells us to do here. I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Folks, let me tell you something. God doesn't like this, when I was dating my wife, you know how we always ask each other, do you love me? Do you love me? Why? Because you want to know. You want to know, how much do you love me? You know, and all the, I don't know how much I love, you know, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the truth is that we want to get, now after 50 years of marriage almost, I kind of think that she does love me, amen? She's put up with a lot with me, folks, let me tell you something. But we've had a really good marriage and happy, laugh about everything, you know. But the truth of the matter is that this thing about love, God doesn't like that half-hearted right. love. Folks, we need to dive right in. Amen? Kevin was preaching last week. I was having to think about him, and I went to a few of his when he was wrestling. And I'll never forget, when he was wrestling, there was no messing around. I mean, that boy did not mess around. I mean, as soon as that horn honked or whatever it was that told them to start fighting, I mean, he was down. He had that guy, whoop, boom, 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 and that was it. There he was on the ground, you know, and he's all over top of this guy. Now he's pinning him and everything. Why? Because that's what he's supposed to be doing. But, I mean, he charged right into that thing, you know. I never seen anybody charge in like that. The other boys, they kind of, you know, like, you know, dance around a little bit and all that kind of stuff, you know, but he didn't mess around at all. I mean, he was right down, tackled the guy, got him right on the ground. Listen, that's the kind of way God wants us to get involved in his work. We're saved now. We're on our way to heaven. We're saints of God. We ought to live like that. Amen? You know, it's no wonder the world is thinking to themselves, you know, this Christianity stuff is not really, and our children are looking at us and seeing that we're not. Why? Because we're half-hearted about things. Well, are we going to go to church tonight? I don't know. I don't feel too good. I'm kind of tired from last night. You know, we were up until 2 o'clock in the morning drinking and dancing and doing. No. But, no, we were, you know. No, the truth of the matter is, you say to yourself, it's always a question. Are we going to church this week? I know some children ask their parents that. Are we going to church now? You ought to always, you know, every service, be committed to it, you see. A commitment there in your heart. And wait, you say, well, what kind of a commitment are you talking about? Hey, hold on a minute. Monday morning, are you going to be on the job? You got a commitment, right? Now, somebody's off tomorrow, so there's, no, not me. I know. I'll punch you right in the face. No. With brotherly love, amen? No, the truth of the matter is, we give our bosses, we give our jobs, you know what I mean? That kind of a commitment, but we don't give it to God. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul. The second thing it tells us to do here is to walk in his ways. Now, I want you to look at that just for a minute. Look what it said, verse 22. And if you shall diligently keep all of these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. Now, wait a minute. How are you going to walk in all his ways? Well, first off, and let me just take you to 1 John chapter 5. I'm sorry, not 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. That's what I'm trying to say. 1 John 1, 5 says this. This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see what the Bible's telling us here? If you walk in the light, you're going to have fellowship with God. It's that simple. How are we going to walk in his ways? We got to get in the light. Amen? You know, my dad used to tell me, he said, you know something, you're like that guy that lost a quarter. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you're down here at the end of the street, under the street light, and you're looking all over the place. And the guy come up and said, what are you looking for? And he said, well, I dropped a quarter. He said, where'd you drop it? He said, about halfway up the block. He said, well, why are you looking down here? He said, well, there's more light down here. Amen. Anyway, some of you didn't even get that. Wake up, wake up. All right. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us to walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, how are we going to walk in the light? Well, we're going to read our Bibles. Amen. If you go to Psalm 119, I'll just read it to you. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." You see, how are you going to take heed to the word if you don't know the word? You got to read the word in order to know the word. Amen? I mean, it's not a big puzzle here, folks. You know, it's that simple. You know, man, I know. We're those kind of guys that like, the kid gets a toy. The first thing we do is start putting it together. Directions are laying over here on the side someplace. We're not going to read no stinking directions. I mean, a 10-year-old kid could put this together, you know. Next thing you know, after about 2 hours of fooling around with that stupid thing, we're over there reading the directions, you know, what we're supposed to do. Why have we got all these parts left over? That's what I'd like to know, you know. Put the washing machine in, and then you got all this stuff left over. It says this, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And in verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, the truth of the matter is, God doesn't want us to sin. Now, what does He do? He provides us with His holy word. And because we have His holy word, we can be kept from our sin. You know, if you look at 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, how are we going to walk with God in the light? By His word. Just read His word. It's very simple, folks. And that's what we need to do. The Bible says this. If you look on down here, it says in verse 18, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart." I'm back at Deuteronomy chapter 11, by the way. "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart, and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon thine hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." Now, if you don't know what frontlets are, look at these Amish horses that are coming down the road here. A lot of them on their bridle, they'll put a little black square that's sticking out here. And the reason for that is because it'll keep the horse from seeing things on the side. You know, that side vision, you know, and all of a sudden, it wants to take off running this way. Why? Because some car came down the road here, but he's not in the road. But all of a sudden, he thinks, you know, something's going to hit him. So they got these frontlets. They're called frontlets. And this is what the Bible's telling us, that we can have this. The Bible is that way. Bind them for a sign on your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see, we ought to be talking about the Word of God all the time. That's what the Bible tells us here. Amen. "And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth." Now, let me tell you something. You say, well, that was the children of Israel, and that was when they were taken over the land and all that. That's right. But that applies to us today. You see, we can lose our house very easily. We can lose our job. We can lose this. We can lose that. We've seen this here recently. A lot of people lost their jobs. The economy went down the tubes, and when the economy went down the tubes, they started laying off people and all that kind of stuff. People lost their jobs. They had big homes, big payments, and all that kind of stuff. Couldn't big mortgages. They couldn't keep them up. Now they're foreclosing on them, taking their homes and all that. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to live? They're going to move in with mom and dad. That's the only thing I know they can do. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we've got... this stuff can happen. It can happen in this day and age. But let me tell you something. If you walk with God, God will watch out for you. He'll take care of your needs. He'll meet your needs and all the rest. The Bible tells us here to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. The only way we can possibly walk in his ways is to read his word. And when we read his word, the Holy Spirit of God can take that word of God that's been placed down in our hearts and in our minds and can direct us and show us the way on what to do. Folks, it's so important that we read our Bibles. Amen. The last thing real quick is this. It says this verse 22, and to cleave unto him. Cleave unto him. I was thinking about Ruth. When Naomi says that she's going to go back to Israel, and they were in the land of Moab, and they were going to leave, she was leaving, and Ruth turned around and clave unto her. And that's where we get that favorite saying about, my people will be your people, and your people will be my people, and where you live, I'll live, and all that kind of stuff, and so on and so forth. But anyway, that's where we get it. She cleaved unto her. She told both those girls to go on back. You know, I don't have a husband to give to you. I don't have another son to be able to provide for you and things like that. Go back to your people and find you a young man and all that. Well, one of them did leave and go on back. I think it was Oprah. I call her Oprah. It's Oprah, I think it was. But anyway, she went on back. But Ruth says, no, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take care of you and all the rest. And she did. She clave unto her. That means she stuck by her no matter what. I imagine the travels back. It was a road they had to walk back. Amen. And, it might have just been a path or something. I don't know how open it was, how hard it was. I have no idea how many nights they might have slept out there under the stars and everything else because they were traveling and just got off the side of the road and went ahead and, made a little camp or something like that. And then they packed up the next day and moved on further, heading towards Israel, constantly. I don't know. But I do know this, that it was rough. And when they got back there, it was still rough. Amen? For a while. But God provided. And God took care of all those things. Amen. Listen, we need to cleave unto God. That means don't fall away. Don't fall away. Stay in church. The devil wants to get you out of church so he can get your family. He can get all those people that you have an influence on. He wants to draw them out. Just stop and think about this. The Bible talks about how that dragon in heaven, you ever read Revelation, where it drew out a third of the stars. And, at times I kind of, sometimes you meditate on the Word of God and you think about that. And then I think about the influence that as a person, not as a pastor, but just as a person, I have family. My mom and dad are saved and in heaven right now because I led them to Christ. Not because I was pastor of this church, but because I was a Christian and I influenced them to trust Christ as their Savior. My brother's saved. And because I led him to Christ. He was my first convert, first person I led to Christ. There's people down at work that were saved. There was people, there's folks all over the place. Why? Now, I got to thinking about this. If the devil could have gotten me angry about something, I got a minute or two. Let me just give you this. I got saved at Riverdale Baptist Church. And I was excited about being saved. And I was in a Sunday school class. It was a very large one, about 425 people in that class. And it wasn't a pastor's class either. It was Ron Sechrist's class. I don't know whether you know him or not, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. But the point is that I was at work, and I was talking to some people and trying to witness to them, things like that. And this guy turned around and asked me a question. Well, I was a brand-new Christian. I didn't know. So I said, hey, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. So I immediately called Riverdale Baptist Church, and I said, is Ron Sechrist there? And they said, yes, he is. I said, he's my Sunday school teacher. I'll ask him about this. You know what I mean? And, you know, I always knew Ron as a friendly guy, you know, smiling and all that kind of stuff and everything, you know. Brother Campbell, he used to call me Brother Campbell. But anyway, they came back, the secretary came back and said, well, he's talking with somebody else in the class. He says, you know, can he call you back later? I said, sure, that's all right. I gave him a number for him to call me. And anyway, I kind of forgot about the thing for a while. I guess it was an hour or so later or something like that. I don't know how much longer it was. But anyway, this person came by and said, well, you got an answer for it yet? And I said, no, hold on just a minute. So I called the church again. And I got a hold of Brother Ron. But this time he came to the phone. He said, look, you're not the only member in my class. I said, well, I know that. He says, well, you have to wait your turn. I am dealing with some other people, and that's all there is to it. I'll get back to you when I can get back to you. And he hung up the phone. Well, Sunday when we went to church, you know, I was kind of, you know, like, that guy was really kind of nasty with me, you know what I mean? And so anyway, I said, well, maybe I did deserve it. I don't know. You know, maybe I should have waited, but I'll talk to him about it. I won't, you know. Well, anyway, after the service was over with, Ron was on the platform, and I walked over, and there was a couple steps there, and I said, Brother Ron. He came over to the edge, and I said, look, I just wanted to apologize to you. And I stuck my hand out there, and I said, for interrupting you while you were doing that. Now, I'll be honest with you, I was looking for an apology back for him to say, well, yeah, I know I was a little abrupt with you, something like that, you know what I mean? But anyway, he said, I'll accept your apology. And he shook my hand, turned around, walked off. You know, and I thought to myself then, I said, man, I ain't never coming back to this church. I ain't kidding you. And that was only a few weeks into this thing. I can look back now, and I can say, you know, if I had to walk down to church and said, I'll never go back again, I wouldn't have picked another church. I'll be honest with you. I was not yet weaned, if you want to use that term, out of Catholicism. I probably would have gone back to Catholic Church and just left it at that. The point I'm trying to say is all the teenagers that I worked with over the years, all the rest, the things that took place, the bus ministry, how many, 11, 12 years we were in a bus ministry, things like that. And that was just at Berean. I don't know about down here, you know, all that. And pastoring, and the thing that, you know, what I'm trying to say is this. In one swoop, the devil could have cleared out all those stars, all those people saved. Why? Because had I not clung unto the Lord. You see? You got to cling unto the Lord. You can't get your feelings hurt and things like that. Now go to the person and tell them, you know, you hurt my feelings. Man, I tell you right now, if I ever hurt somebody's feelings, I'll be the first one to beg your forgiveness because I don't want to hurt nobody. Amen? Sometimes I kid around or something like that, but I don't think I'm ever sharp with anybody. But I can't be sharp about nothing. I'm too dull. But now the truth is that we need to do that. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Folks, that's what we need to do. Amen. We need to get close to God. How do we get close to God? Love him. You know, always think back on the things, the good things. Don't think on the failures. Think on the good things that God's done for you over the years. Think of the good things that have happened to you and all that just because of the fact that God's come into your life. And then after that, then the Bible tells us that we ought to walk in his ways. And like I said, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Today we're going to ask you to commit yourself to read the Bible. You can either read the whole Bible through in a year or you can read the New Testament through. Charlie, all you got to do is just read Holy Bible. You know, if he can get that much. No, I'm just teasing with you. Trying to see if he was awake or not. Now, the truth of the matter is we can have and cling unto God. Amen. If the Holy Spirit of God has placed you in this church, then you stay here. You stay here. You serve Him. You work out whatever differences you have, whatever problems you have. Stay here and serve God and do the things that God wants you to do. Now, if something changes and another pastor comes in or something and he starts preaching some kind of off-the-wall stuff or whatever, you know, then that's a different story, you know, completely. But what I'm talking about is, you know, don't let your feelings get hurt and you quit. Think about those stars. Think about the devil's tail, that old dragon, as he swoops around and drags out one-third of the stars of heaven. Amen? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for each one that's here this morning. And I pray that you'll bless us now. Help us to really commit ourselves to do some things to glorify you. And dear Lord, that we can walk closer to you, that we can draw nigh unto you. And maybe there's someone here this morning that's not saved, not a born-again Christian, doesn't know for sure if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help them to come forward. Let us take them off to the side and take the Bible and show them from the Word of God how to be saved. Not in a Baptist way, not a religious way, but God's way. God's salvation. It's His plan. It's His way. So, Lord, I pray that you help us to reveal that to them. And, Lord, that they pray and trust Christ as their Savior this morning, washing away all their sins with His precious blood. And I pray also for Christians that you'll speak to their hearts and help them to make commitments to serve you and to be faithful and do the things that you want us to do. Help us to read our Bibles every day and all the rest. In Jesus' name, amen.